Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. Let's pray for our country. I mean, we can talk, right? We can try to come up with solutions. We can take action. We can be political. We can educate. They're all important things. There's nothing more powerful, in my opinion, than what your prayer from the heart can do. I'm telling you, it's I think you underestimate how incredibly powerful your prayer is. You know, it can move mountains. That's what the Lord told us. I mean, I sometimes think about that. And it just gives me such peace. Because, you know, when I deal with the own travails and tribulations that come in the journey of my life, I don't know, it gives me a different perspective. It gives me a little bit of peace. But let's pray for our country. Let's pray for those who are migrating, those who are abused, those who right now have very nefarious intent for our country and, you know, for your loved ones. You don't know. I want to pray for those with addiction, and I want to pray for those who are most in need of God's mercy. We'll do that today. There's a group of people who I really want to pray for because they're so blind. You know who they are? It's the Church of Satan. The Satanic Temple announced that it's dedicating the largest satanic gathering in history, right? They're gonna have the largest satanic gathering in history in Boston. This is going to happen in April. I'm just making you aware of it now. We'll talk about it a little bit later in the week. And they're accusing Boston of trying to unconstitutionally bar them from public places. And so the Satanic Temple, they're inviting people to register for SatanCon. SatanCon is going to take place downtown Boston. The theme is it's called Hexenacht in Boston. That translates into Witch's Night in Boston. And it's an ancient German holiday. But believe it or not, this is what confuses me a little bit about it. It's a German holiday. It takes place annually. April 30th is the feast day of it, right? Same feast as, I think it's St. Andrew, isn't it? He's November 30th. April 30th. Anyway, it commemorates the canonization of St. Walburga, who was known for exorcising demons from sick people. So earlier this month, the Satanic Temple advertised their SatanCon 2023 on Instagram, and they're promising that the group's 10th anniversary is going to be the largest satanic gathering in history. And here's the problem that really concerns me. Not that they're just getting together. They're going to have satanic rituals there. There's discussion panels for satanic rituals. There's even a satanic marketplace where they're going to go ahead and leave, you're going to bring into your home anyone who dabbles with this stuff. You're opening a portal for these dark spirits. April 30th, Maggie's telling me, is the feast day of Saint Marie of the Incarnation. Great. Let's call upon her to battle against this, right? To intercede for us. I love that. So again, Satan is a puff of smoke compared to the power of God, right? He's all bark. There's no bite there. So I know this sounds, oh my gosh. But it is quicksand for people who go there and step into this stuff. It's hard to get out. And these forces are real, and you talk to any exorcist about it. We'll dive into it. We'll take a look at their constitutionality. We'll take a look at the dangers of what we're doing. We'll take a look at what they believe, because for many Satanists, you know, they claim that, you know, they're not worshiping some sort of evil entity. You know, they say despite our name, you know, we're all about benevolence and empathy amongst people. We reject tyrannical authority, right? It's kind of their noble pursuit, they say. So, look, I don't want to go too off rail. We'll pray for them and anybody right now involved in the occult. Pray for me, too. Pray for protection over me, if you could. I would really appreciate that. And we'll pray for a lot of these intentions that came in. I received an email right before walking into the broadcast here. I was looking at the show emails. And this person says, "Dear Drew, happy new beginning. Asking for prayers for my 24-year-old grandson who just took his life." Oh, poor grandmother. Poor parents. Circumstances are not clear. He was in police custody. I'm grateful he was baptized. And I know our father loved him. Would you please pray for his mother and his father? They are inconsolable. And Drew, my heart is broken. It breaks my heart to hear that. I mean, it really does. I pray to God that I never have to drink from that bitter cup. My heart goes out to any parent who's lost a child by suicide. So let's pray. We'll pray for them in a particular way. And Maggie, anything you want to add to the mix as we start our prayers?
I do, Drew. I want to lift up prayers of thanksgiving, and prayers for continued good results and health for my future sister-in-law, Gianna. She is a beautiful young woman who beat cancer many years ago. As a young woman, she was in her 20s. I guess she had a checkup today, and they were good results.
Oh, so great. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord, for that, and I hope that that continues in her life, that she has good health. And I was just talking with Deacon Ernie Martinez as we were getting off the last segment, and I want to lift up him and his family with special prayers for his nephew, Colton.
All right. Yeah, we're praying for Colton, Deacon, that's for sure, and for your entire family. So count on our deepest prayers for you. Another person says, Drew, I've reached out many times asking for prayers for my sister Tina and my brother Teddy. I've never been able to get through. My sister suffers from stage 4 ovarian cancer, and my brother's got colon cancer. It's kind of a double shot there, kind of difficult stuff. So I want to lift those up. Let me just share something a little more hopeful. So much sadness, you know, that comes in here at times. So much suffering, really, if you think about it. This person just wrote as well, said, hey, I called into your chaplet last week. I want to let you know that my brother-in-law, Greg, he received his last rites. It was just a few weeks, and he finally received them. We were praying for a peaceful death and that he'd be greeted by a merciful Lord. Would you please pray for the conversion of our family, for complete healing of our daughter who's struggling following a rough divorce and emotional abuse, and for healing of all those mental illnesses. Another person says, I wrote to you about my grandson. I told you that he had a soft spot that had closed too soon, and he might have to have skull surgery. Maggie was kind enough to read it on the air on Friday. Remember this one, Maggie? She says he was referred to a neurosurgeon. He had an appointment. She took one look at him and said he's perfectly fine. Oh, so we just want to say, praise God, that soft spot was closed, but his skull development was normal. No surgery is necessary. I knew when I heard Maggie read my email that the power of this prayer and the thousands of prayer warriors that were listening, that God was so good that he'd answer my request. I love you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks from the bottom of my heart. Have a blessed new year.
Oh.
Cherie. All right. I love it. And Peyton Charles Grandma. All right. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, let's pray. We'll pray in thanksgiving for God's mercy, and we'll pray for the miracle that God has in store for you. We'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls. And the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin, Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Let's take our first call today. Jim is praying with us in Fountain, Minnesota. Hi, Jim. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
I appreciate it so much. We're calling in today for prayers of thanksgiving.
All right.
My grandson, Beckham, was born on the 12th of December, which is the feast of our Lady of Guadalupe, and the very next day we found out that he had intestinal issues and had to have surgery. While he was having surgery, I called into the chaplet and got on, and all your prayer warriors said prayers for him, and we just knew that that was going to be the biggest thing that he needed at that point, and he had his surgery, and exactly 1 month to the day, he came home yesterday. Wow. 100% doing great.
I love it.
Full, just everything perfect.
Oh, praise
God. And so we just wanted to make sure to have prayer for Thanksgiving and to say thank you, Drew, to you and all the prayer warriors. Without that, you know, it makes makes all the difference. We appreciate it so much.
Well, Jim, first of all, thanks for calling. Thanks for sharing that with everyone. God is so good and so merciful. I know he hears our united prayers here. That's what makes this time so powerful. And let's pray for that beautiful grandson of yours, all right? We'll pray that God allows him to find his mission in life. And let's entrust him right now to God's divine mercy. And I want to pray for you, Jim, and for all of the other intentions that you have in your heart. But Lord, I want to pray in Thanksgiving right now. We thank you for his grandson. We thank you for the answer to these prayers. And Lord, you work miracles in all sorts of ways, some very dramatic, some very hidden. But we love the way you reveal yourself to us. And we thank you for hearing our prayers. I know you hear us. I know you see us. I know you are going to respond to these prayers for mercy. So I give you, Jim, and we thank you for the ways you answer our prayers and have for those prayers that are waiting, those answered prayers that are waiting. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Patricia. She is in Mankato, Minnesota. Hi, Patricia. Good afternoon.
Yes. Hi, Drew and Maggie. And thank you so much for your ministry. And you had just mentioned, actually, a prayer of Thanksgiving that my brother-in-law, Greg, had gotten the last rites. And he is actively dying now. So I want all these wonderful prayer warriors who, you know, made that happen, as well as, I'm sure, St. Joseph and that St. Andrew Novena, you know, for him to have last rites. And then one other really quick thing is, I just learned from a friend that the Democrats brought a new bill, HF1, to codify abortion into Minnesota law, which would allow abortion up to live birth with absolutely no restriction. And there is a committee hearing in the Minnesota House tomorrow, or 2 days, both tomorrow, the 10th, and January 12th at 8:30 in the morning. So if people could please... Pray for, and you know, against this abortion.
Yeah, we certainly will do that. Well, I'm grateful that one prayer was answered already. Yeah. I pray to God I get last rites too. That's what a blessing, what a gift, what a comfort. But let's pray for this too, and I'll try to follow up on it as well. But I'm so convinced that the Chaplet of Divine Mercy is a prayer given for our time, and I say that in so many reasons, not only for the sick and the dying. But as I've shared with you many, many times, St. Faustina has recorded in her diary, you know, the incredible sufferings that she went through for aborted fetuses, for those going through abortion, and, you know, the pain and agony that she endured. And, you know, we know the chaplet, the very prayer that we're praying today is somewhat rooted in the fact that there was an angel of God's wrath sent to destroy a city. The city was later known to be the abortion capital of Europe at the time. So this is a prayer that God gave to St. Faustina that holds back his hand of justice and showers mercy. And we need to pray for our legislators and for this culture of death that seems to have just blinded so many of them. And we just pray for God's mercy in this area. I mean, Lord, I ask for your mercy as Faustina begged you for it, holding back that angel of wrath. I too ask that you hold it back from the hands of America. You know, I ask that you bring about conversion. You know, the greater the sinner, the greater the right they have to your mercy. And I just pray for radical conversion. I don't know what will be the spark that will bring it about. I don't know what will be the change, but I believe it can happen. And I'm so grateful to be able to pray with my brothers and sisters right now for this intention. So I lift up this beautiful intention from Patricia and all those who are united with me in prayer. And I give you this intention in my heart as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Fernando listening to us in Highland, California, we go to Maggie. Maggie is on our Twitter, and she can take your prayer intentions at Drew Mariani. That's the handle there. At Drew Mariani Show, I should say. That's the show account. At Drew Mariani's Mind. Follow us both and leave us your prayer intentions. Maggie will be more than glad to give voice to them. And Maggie, what's coming in?
I've got a couple today, Drew. Alicia says, I'm humbly requesting prayers for my dad, Pablo. He's in the ICU with a fever, infection, and a lesion on the left side of his brain.
Wow.
Please pray that God sends him complete healing.
Wow.
Karina wrote to us and said, please pray for my friend Ray and his family. His young nephew died suddenly last night. His name is Osvaldo. And Manuela wrote to us and said, prayers for my daughter Crystal going into surgery. Please pray that the hand of Jesus be guiding the surgery and guiding the hands of every person in that operating room.
We'll lift up all of those intentions. That's scary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're going into surgery. Lord, you are the divine physician. I pray for healing. And I pray for all those who've asked us to pray for. So many intentions come in through our email as well. Know that you're prayed for. I'm going to lift you up too as well. And I want to just thank you for the way you're working. We'll go to Fernando, who's in Highland, California. Hi, Fernando. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Good afternoon. I just want to lift up in prayer. My sister-in-law's... she works for a doctor, and he was diagnosed with cancer. And initially, he was under the impression that it was all over his body, so he was pretty depressed. And I called in, I believe, about 2 weeks ago, and you mentioned, I wasn't able to get on air, but you mentioned my name with the intention. And so he got a diagnosis that he was happy that it showed that it wasn't as bad as he thought it was initially.
Yeah.
But now he's got a diagnosis of a tumor in his brain.
Wow.
So I think we're seeing God working in these prayers. And I believe that it's for the better of his conversion, if it's God's will, and for my sister-in-law's conversion. And
yeah.
I also want to lift up my wife for full recovery from pancreatic cancer. I think I called you on that one too. We haven't had a, since she got treatment, she hasn't really gotten to see the doctor very well. So we're waiting for that. But anyways, thank you, Drew.
Well, Fernanda, first of all, my heart goes out to you. I will certainly pray for your wife. I have her name written down, and we'll pray for, my wife and I will remember you and her in our prayers. But thank you for your faith. I mean, it's very refreshing to see how God can work, and you know, your belief in Him. That's really what moves mountains. You know, it's refreshing to hear from you, especially with these troubling situations. And God can work instantly. I mean, we've had brain tumors. People call in who've had, you know, the scans that show the brain tumor, and then it disappears. That's the power of this prayer and our faith and just God's mercy. And I want to pray for your wife in particular. Pancreatic cancer, as you know, Fernando, is an incredibly serious diagnosis. I mean, we just ask God to embrace her and to allow a great miracle to take place. But Lord, I pray for the sister-in-law's boss who has this brain tumor, for his conversion. And I love that. Sometimes God allows us these trials in life, these health trials because it allows us to come to know him or in a deeper way or to convert. You know, St. Vincent de Paul, he once said, if we only knew how precious, what a treasure is hidden in infirmities, we would receive them with joy. We would look at them as a benefit. We would bear them, he says, without ever complaining or showing a sign of weariness. My wife and I were both, we were so sick this past weekend. We didn't get out of bed for two solid days. And yet, in that, I often say health is wealth. If you don't have it, you would trade anything for it. It is a gift. And, you know, I often think of what Vincent de Paul says. There's a precious hidden treasure in your infirmity. So if you're suffering right now, know that. Ask God to heal you, to alleviate it. But if he asks you to carry it, know there's a grace in it. Lord, I just ask you, give us that sense of discernment and the fortitude to carry these crosses and the faith to see those miracles. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Maryland next. Chris is calling us from there. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thank you, Drew.
You're welcome.
Yes, my mother has advanced lung cancer, and my absolute wish is, of course, for her salvation. And I entrust her salvation to the divine mercy. Amen. But if in addition God would like to give us a reprieve on the cancer or a complete cure on the cancer, that would be great too.
Amen. What a beautiful prayer.
Lift up my mother.
That's how I prayed too.
When
my mother was battling, my father, same thing. Lord, if it's your will, then, you know, take her and embrace her in your mercy.
Yeah.
But, you know, Lord, I ask right now for Chris that you grant him a reprieve, a few more months, a few more years with his mother, whatever your will is. Losing a mother is such a difficult thing. And I pray for all those battling cancer. I know his mother has advanced lung cancer. But you can heal cancer. It's not greater than you. And I do pray that you hear this man's prayer. And I pray especially for the moment you do call her, that you embrace her as a merciful Savior. Maggie's monitoring our Twitter too, Chris. I'm going to allow her to come in because there's a few very critical tweets that we need everyone's prayers for. Maggie, what's coming in?
Stacy wrote to us and said, please pray again for little Everett Nguyen. He's the four-month-old boy in the hospital in Houston, Texas, who's been in surgery since 10:30 a.m. today for a tumor in his chest. Praying that the tumor is benign and that they get every bit of it. Praying for complete healing for this little baby boy. And then also Angie wrote to us and said, please pray for the repose of the soul of Branson Howard, who died in a car crash yesterday morning. He was just 19 years old. Please pray for this family and their grief, and also for the other young man who also lost his life.
Lord, it's tough. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from Jim. He's praying in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my phone call, and want to pray for you, your request, and
thanks,
for your health and all your ministry. It's outstanding. And again, like you, I tremendously believe in the power of the chaplet.
Mm-hmm.
And I did send you a text back once after my wife got her report back from the doc and said they couldn't find anything that was wrong. you read it on the air one day, which blessed my heart. And so the reason today is calling for my grandson, who is losing weight and is having some heart issues, and been to numerous doctors, and they can't figure out what's going on. And so he's waking up kind of middle of night, can't breathe, and a kind of a panic attack. They took him to the emergency room, and can't figure out what's going on. So we just pray for wisdom to the docs to figure out what's going on and bring some peace to the family.
Well, certainly pray. Your wife was in urgent care, right? Was that the case with her?
She was actually we've had that situation too. But yeah. This was at the Mayo Clinic when she had her mammogram, and they said something wasn't right.
Well, praise God for her healing. All right, and let's pray for your grandson. Yep. What's his name?
It's Isaiah.
Isaiah. We'll write that down. Put him on our list here. And gosh, it seems so unfair, doesn't it, to have such a young child?
Yes. It does.
16 years old. He's in the prime. You know, he should be healthy and not having to deal with these types of issues. But Lord, I don't know what the illness is, what the ailment is, and we just ask that you illuminate the minds of these doctors, make it clear to them the right treatment. And we pray that for his weight, we pray for his heart that is out of rhythm, and we just pray that you take Isaiah right now and embrace him, heal him, as you heal those with blindness and muteness and leprosy. And I just ask, today be a day of abundant healing, abundant graces. Hear the cries of your children. Hear Jim's cry. We thank you for the answered prayers that have been reported that continue to come in. And if God has answered your prayers, please email me, drew@relevantradio.com. Just mark it answered prayer in the memo line. And send me a couple sentences, a couple paragraphs. Tell me how God answered the prayer you called in for, or you wrote for, or how you prayed the chaplet for. Lord, I just turn to you now. I'm thanking you for the prayers that are now looming. And I give you everyone who's on hold, everyone who's written, and everyone united to me in prayer. I beg you to hear our cries as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Providence,
pray for us.
She's known, I think, as Site of Healing over in Italy. Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine, Patron Saint of Cancer,
pray for us.
Today's also the birthday of Saint Jose Maria Escriva, so we ask you,
Pray for us.
Yeah. St. Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
Samuel Mazzucchelli.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
Extra long litany today. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, my wife and I were out, man. It was a rough weekend for us. And I know a lot's going around, so we'll talk about it. My daughter was sick too. My son was sick too. There's a lot of sickness going around. So I hope you're doing well. If not, write to us. Let us know, call us, and we'll pray for you during the chaplet. Hey, we got a lot to talk about coming up. I want to share with you a story. I don't know if you remember, it was a couple of years ago, I shared a story about a priest who was captured. They tortured this guy. They flogged this guy. They did all sorts of stuff to him. He was actually released. He was spoken to. He really believes the Lord spoke to him through one of his captors. He's now a bishop. I'll tell you his story when I return.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Faith over fear.
And if you're new to the show, it's so good to have you with us. Tucson, it's good to have you on board, listening on 104.9. And Relevant Radio is continuing to reach new souls. If you've discovered us, maybe you're listening in Chicago or in New York or in Los Angeles or in Philadelphia or in Houston or Dallas, or maybe you're on the app or the web somewhere, tell one other person. I think it's such a great way to get them plugged in. If you enjoy the chaplet, if you enjoy the rosary, if you enjoy the great dialogue that you get here within this show or any of my colleagues, pass it along. There's something for everybody here. You know, whether you are listening and getting your faith questions answered, whether you're on a spiritual journey through the inner life, whether you're getting a look at life and the most important issues of the day through the eyes of faith with me, then, you know, turn others on. I think Relevant Radio is such a unique instrument of God's grace today. I do. I think he's using it in a really powerful way to bring truth to the culture. That's what we need. Truth and prayer. Those are two things that are often devoid in the lives of a lot of people. Hey, the group ISIS, right? They've been out of the news for a while, and thank God, right? The legal group Judicial Watch, they recently claimed that they have documents from the Department of Homeland Security showing that ISIS has made more threats against the U.S. about airplanes. But when ISIS went on their rampage, and this was back in 2015, remember what happened? They captured thousands of people, non-Muslims, right? And non-Muslims are infidels. They imprisoned them. They tortured them. They killed them, or they did both, right? There was a priest. His name was Father Jacques Morad. He was one of those people. And he founded this monastery in Syria. It's near the city of Karyatan. And at the time, he was ministering to these refugees who were fleeing the Syrian war. And as ISIS was just, you know, destroying everything. And the priest, you know, had, well, the priest who had co-founded this with him was a priest named Father Paolo Dolgio. And he was abducted, like, in 2013, never heard of again since. And so you know that he was probably executed, right? So Father Morad, he's kind of known this kind of fear for a long time. He knew he could be abducted, he could be killed. Well, his fear came true. A couple years later, it was May of 2015, ISIS overruns the city, and they capture him. He spends 5 months in captivity. And the things they would do to this man were horrible. They would come into his cell, right? He said, well, first of all, when they abducted him, they held him for 4 days locked in a car in a mountain before transferring him. And then when they transferred him, he was threatened with beheading multiple times if he didn't convert to Islam. Now, just imagine, put yourself in this situation, right? Imagine you're in a cell somewhere. He says people would come in. They would be dressed in black. They'd make me kneel, and I'd feel a cold blade against my neck. And he says, I would cry out to God. I'd entrust my soul to him in this final moment, thinking my end was near, and it would be a mock execution. See, that's almost worse than the execution itself. In some respects, it's psychological torture. You know, you're thinking you're seconds away from death. You're about to have a knife cut open your neck. And they've done this multiple times. He never knows what happens because other people have been executed, right? They would whip him. So after he was held this car, they transported him to Raqqa. And he lived, he said, in captivity and in fear and in shame and in anger, he said, at the time. And you can totally understand those initial emotions, right? So he says, on the eighth day, a person dressed in black entered my cell. And the man struck up a conversation with him. And the man said to him, the priest said to him, he says, why am I here? Why have I been abducted? And the captor said to him, "Consider it, Father, a spiritual retreat." Right? Kind of mockingly, "Consider it a spiritual retreat." He said, from that moment on, everything changed. He says, "My prayer and my days then took on meaning." He says, "I felt it was through that captor that the Lord spoke to me, that the Lord sent me those words. The Lord used the most unlikely instrument to communicate to me." You might be in a similar situation where you're really in despair right now, and the most unlikely person might be the instrument that God is using to talk to you today, to give you the direction that you are looking for or the answer that you have sought. The most unlikely person. Here he was, this man who probably in mockery was used by the Holy Spirit to give this priest the fortitude he needed. He says, that moment gave him great comfort. He says, I was able to regain my inner peace. It was May. He says, it was the month of Mary. And he says, I began to recite the rosary. And he says, I didn't pray the rosary much before, but you know what the rosary did for me? He says, it renewed my relationship with the Mother of God. And he says, one of the prayers that I would recite in these difficult times, and this might be a prayer for you too. He says, there's this beautiful prayer from St. Teresa of Avila. And her prayer was, "Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you." Right? He prayed this prayer over and over again. He says it sustained him. The prayer goes on, of course. And he said one night he made it into a melody. He started to hum it. And then he just abandoned his hands into the Lord. He says, "I had no choice. I had every indication that either I converted to Islam, right, as they wanted me to do, or I'd be decapitated. That was my fate. But the fear left me." He says, several days later, my captors reappeared. And they gave me a 30-minute flagellation, a flogging. He was bound, and they took a piece of garden hose and rope, and they whipped him for a half an hour. I mean, can you imagine being beaten? Like, he said, "I was in such physical pain." But here's a strange part. He says, down deep inside, I was at peace. Yeah, and I thought of when I was reading his testimony, I was thinking, reminds me of St. Paul, right? Think of the shipwrecks, you know, think of the flogging these apostles, these early evangelists went through, the tortures, the imprisonments, right? You and I, look, I am soft. I am so soft, it's ridiculous. I don't think I could ever endure what these people do, but I think God gives you a grace, right? When you're in those situations, you're in a grace to be able to be bound, to be able to be flogged, to be able to be threatened with execution on a daily basis like that. And he says, in the midst of all this, after that flogging, I had this joy because I knew I was sharing something of Christ's suffering. Faustina understood this, and this is the secret of the saints. All the saints understand the value of suffering and uniting their own to that of the Lord. There is a joy in it. It was either John Paul II or Faustina. Somebody once wrote that it's in suffering that love is crystallized. And he says, I was able to forgive my tormentor. I forgave him. Even as he was whipping me, I forgave him. And it makes me think of Christ on the cross forgiving those men. I mean, you're in sheer agony. You know, every nerve in your body is screaming, sending impulses of pain to your brain. And there you are forgiving the person that did this to you. That is love, right? That is love. And we're going to be evaluated when we stand before God one day on how we forgave those who persecuted us, those who have hurt us. Are you holding on to that unforgiveness? Are you holding on to that grudge? Are you holding on to that anger? I mean, maybe today God's talking to you through an unlikely person. Maybe he's talking to you through me. And maybe today he wants you to forgive. He wants you to let go. You know? He says, I remember the verse where the Lord says, it's in our weakness that his strength is manifested, the priest said. And he said, as bad as it was, you know, he experienced his greatest fear just a short time later when that man came in and was about to slit his throat. He says, but something happened. He says, I began to dialogue with my captors. And in my fright, I just recommended myself to God's mercy. And he says, one day, he tried to escape. You know, he got dressed as an Islamist, and he was able to get out, fled on a motorcycle with the help of a Muslim friend, and along with another Orthodox priest and a few Bedouin and Muslim friends, he was able to escape his captivity, and he won the release of 200 more Christians who were still in captivity. I'll keep it short because I have to take a break here. Bottom line is, this holy priest was just elevated to bishop, and deservingly so, right? What a great story. His story goes on. I could share so much more. There's so much to learn from those. It's not just 2,000 years ago that this took place. Today, there are more Christian martyrs than ever before. And, you know, we all suffer in certain ways. Some may have to give life, right? You may be asked to give your life. I don't know if God's going to call you to that. But we're all called to suffer for the Lord. It might be in reputation. It might be financially. It might be just for truth. So think about today as we reflect on the incredible life now of Archbishop Jacques Morat. I'll take a short pause. When we come back, I'll share a little more.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. Thank you for your show.
This is the Drew Mariani Show.
Marvelous show on the radio right now.
On Relevant Radio.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How are you aligning your financial plan with your Catholic values? Is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More information, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
New tonight at 9, thanks to help from the community, a Longmont church is no longer covered in graffiti tonight. We first showed you on Friday the damage done to the community Christ Church. That church is a staple in that community.
A church in Lawrence County has sustained several thousand dollars worth of damage. This after it was broken into. The Lawrence County Sheriff's Office says the incident took place at Antioch Church of Christ on County Road 217. There was damage to windows, TVs, books, and furniture in that church.
For now, the second time, someone targeted a statue at Jesus at St. Martha's Catholic Church in Miami Shores. September 13th, the pastor found the head, arm, and hand all broken off of one of the statues. Then a month earlier, August 29th, someone damaged the Christ statue in front of the church.
In the Rosary Walk in Garden, where someone took a hammer and badly damaged the face, hands, and crown of Our Lady of Fatima.
Oh my goodness.
Visitors to the garden were stunned to hear what happened.
Ay, me duele el corazón.
My heart is broken.
You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, thanks for being here. It continues. I've shared with you just a little bit earlier about a nativity scene that was destroyed at St. Joan of Arc Church in Brooklyn. And of course, that horrible case of the altar at the Subiaco Abbey in Subiaco, Arkansas, where a guy came in with a sledgehammer, destroyed a beautiful altar, and stole 1,500-year-old relics. Horrible case. That man, by the way, is in custody. I just shared the story of Archbishop Morat. He made it through his captivity alive, and many of his priestly brothers did not. There is persecution taking place. There's destruction. There's vandalism taking place. There's a new report from Aid to the Church in Need. It's showing that more than 100 priests and religious sisters have been kidnapped. They've been arrested, or they've even been killed just last year for their faith. I'm talking about last year. 12 priests, 5 religious sisters were killed. You know, with Nigeria, of course, being the country with the worst record. We talked about that in the past. It's absolutely horrible there. But others were killed in Mexico by these drug cartels. They were killed in the Democratic Republic of Congo. 5 nuns were killed in Haiti, South Sudan, Mozambique, Congo, and the list goes on. But it's not just killings. Many priests and many religious sisters in Africa, they've been kidnapped, right? They've been killed. But with Nigeria, again, being the country with the worst record for these abductions, priests and religious have been arrested. They've been put in jail in places like Russia, Nicaragua. China might be the worst, although it's really hard to know because it's hard to get information from that country. But I guarantee you there's a lot going on there. In light of all that we're seeing on so many different levels here, I thought I'd invite the Director of Evangelization and Outreach for the Aid to the Church in Need, Ed Clancy. He hails from New York City, and you ought to check them out. They track this stuff, and he's intimately aware of what's now unfolding. Ed, it's good to have you back. Welcome.
Thank you, Drew. It's a difficult subject, but it's good to speak about it.
It really is. In terms of numbers, and this is striking because people think, 2,000 years ago, it was really horrible. But in terms of numbers, there's more persecution taking place for Christians globally, the world over, today than there has ever been. In terms of numbers, in last year's report, is it better or worse than the year before? How are things looking?
Well, we do a report called Persecuted and Forgotten, and we skipped one year. It's usually done on the odd years. In 2019 was the last one, and then we just did our most recent one, 2022. And it showed, in 2019's version, we had 13 countries of concern, of high concern. This year, it was 24. And of those 24 countries, only two had a slight decrease in persecution. All the rest had increases, just to show you how not only is it increasing in number, but it's increasing in pervasiveness around the world. And you're very right to point out that priests and nuns are targets. Obviously, they do the so-called dirty jobs. They go places where other people don't want to go. They deal with the people that are, you know, the poorest, the most vulnerable, and they put themselves in great risk. And because of that, they were targets. And I was listening to you before coming on about the priest who now is a bishop, speaking of the rosary. And I famously remember meeting Father Douglas Bazzi from Iraq and how he, too, said the rosary as a way of getting out of it. In fact, he was chained, and the chains on his arms had 10 links hanging off the edge of the lock. And he noticed that essentially it was his rosary. And he just prayed the rosary between beatings and all of the persecution that he was getting just because he was a priest helping people.
Yeah, I remember that story. I was always struck by that. And I remember the same thing. The chain became his rosary. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you shared that. I was thinking of his name actually before I came on today, and I couldn't place it. And that didn't happen too long ago. So in terms of these abductions, you know, with these priests and these religious, say they're being killed or being kidnapped. What's happening to them? Why is Nigeria so bad? And what happens to these people? Why are these priests and nuns being targeted in particular?
Well, Nigeria has been a problem for many years. It's nothing new. And, famously, 2 years ago, the current administration removed them as a country of particular concern. So they average about 3,500 Christians killed each year. Over the past 13 years, killed for their faith, 3,500 per year. That's essentially 10 per day. So when we talk about those numbers, those are astronomical. And one of the reasons there is because there is this stress on the society, and you have radicalization. But you also have a government which is not helping. They're not supporting the Christian community. And famously last year during Pentecost in Ondo, there was the church that was attacked, and 50 people were killed. In that case, a priest wasn't, but many parishioners were, and it was enough scores who were injured. So priests and nuns, they are targets because they work with the poorest. They stand up for things. You mentioned Mexico. They work with the poor. They stand in places. They go into communities where the drug cartels are, and they sort of willingly put their bodies, as Christ did, in front of the dangers to help the people.
Yeah. Hey, let's bring it closer to home. Okay, people that go Syria, Africa, Nigeria, all these different places, right? Mexico. I'm shocked about what's happening in Mexico. It's kind of hard to think of Mexico as being a country where priests would be killed because of because they're Catholic. There was a time where, of course, there was a terrible purging and a great persecution. What's going on down there? Is it the cartels? I mean, who's taking out some of these priests and why?
Most likely is in most cases. In fact, in 2018, there were even more priests killed by the cartels. Just to show you that it's, even though four is a lot, seven in 2018. And it's generally because they will protect people. And the drug cartels use the poor. They use whoever's in front of them as their chattel, the people that they use for purposes, good or bad, for theft, et cetera. And so when the poor need protection, they will go to the church. And oftentimes the priests will speak out against this and speak up to the government, who, again, does not much or nothing to stop the problem. And, of course, if you don't have protection of police and then you have, rampant crime and drug lords, and drug dealers all around, it makes them easy targets, unfortunately.
That's so true. Ed, first of all, thanks for being here. I have about a minute left. I want to plug your organization, churchinneed.org. What will people find there, and how can they connect?
Sure. Churchinneed.org, we're an organization that helps the church in vulnerable places and places of persecution and suffering. We help at 1 in 8 religious in the world in all different ways. And we obviously try to be a voice for the persecuted church around the world.
Well, I hope people will go to churchinneed.org. I hope they'll support your efforts. I'm assuming you're a 501c3, right? You're a nonprofit?
Yes, we are. And we're completely in line with the Catholic teachings of the church.
Perfect. I appreciate what you do, Ed. Thank you for your time. Have a great one.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You too. God bless. Thank you for the opportunity.
Director of Evangelization and Outreach for the Aid to the Church in Need. Check them out, churchinneed.org. When I return, a stunning new report. This one shocked me. Hundreds of teachers in the third largest school district in the country reportedly sexually groomed, assaulted, and raped students over a period of decades. Wait till you hear where it was and what happened.